be right before God. This is our obligation, to be right before God in the way that we live. Now, in studying this, I'm down to chapter 35, I think it is. But in studying this, I came across a little phrase. And I like to study phrases. Different times in the Bible, that little phrase shows up. And I found a phrase that we want to study some tonight. The phrase is, "Know that I." Now, that little phrase, I tell you what I did. I looked up the word "know" and the Lord, and it shows up 76 times in the book of Ezekiel. 76 times. Now, how many chapters are in Ezekiel? Just check it out real quick. Just real quick. It's about 46, something like that. 47. Maybe there's 48. 48. Right? Wow. And this little phrase, or the words, "know" and the Lord, shows up some 76 times. It's a pattern that we need to follow through on. I printed those out, and I have one copy, but from Ezekiel chapter 5 is the first one, and the last one is in Ezekiel 39. And so not every chapter has this phrase in it, but many of the chapters do, and some of the chapters have it more than once. Okay, so it's a very important point that God wants us all to see and understand what this is all about. Now, this as a form of reference, If you look in the book of Ezekiel chapter 29, Ezekiel chapter 29, you'll find here the first reference that's given. The first one I'm going to give to you is in the book of Ezekiel 29, verse 21. And just read down through here, and you can know that this is so. Ezekiel 29, look in verse 16. "And it shall be no more the confidence of the house of Israel, which bringeth their iniquity to remembrance, when they shall look after them, but they shall know that I am the Lord God." And so that little phrase is right at the end of verse number 16. But look also in verse number 21. The Bible says, "In that day will I cause the horn of the house of Israel," that is the strength of the house of Israel, "to bud forth, and I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and they shall know that I am the Lord." So this is talking about a time when Israel will come to the place of knowing that God is God. Listen, today they don't know it. They don't. I mean, some of those people are back in the land now, but they don't understand that God is moving them. And we're going to find that as we read and just study this little phrase. Just look at this little phrase as many, many times that it shows up. Look in chapter 30, Ezekiel 30 and verse number 8. The Bible here is talking about Egypt. Now, Egypt is not a godly nation at all. I mean, they're really not. They are pagans. They have been for years, and that's it. But look what it says in verse number 8 of Ezekiel 30, verse number 8. "And they shall know that I am the Lord." Here is a pagan nation that God says. It's not that a leader of Israel says this, but this is God that's saying this, that they shall know that God is God. Boy, that's going to be different. He said, "When I have set a fire in Egypt, and when all her helpers shall be destroyed." And you can read all about that. And it's just an excellent thing. See, what God is going to do is going to be great indeed. In verse number 19. Verse number 19 of Ezekiel 30. Verse number 19. Thus will I execute judgments, that's plural word, in Egypt. And they shall know that I am the Lord. Now today, they don't know that at all. But there's going to come a day when they cannot deny it so. They cannot deny that that is so. Look in verse number 25. Ezekiel 30 and verse 25. But I will strengthen the arm. And this has already happened. And I will strengthen the arm of Babylon, and the arms of Pharaoh shall fall down. Has that happened? Sure it has. It happened in the days of Jeremiah. We studied about that a long time ago. But when the Babylonian captivity came along, and a lot of the Israelites were taken to Babylon, then some of them that were left in the land of Israel, they decided they were going to Egypt for help. And they thought there was going to be safety down there. But when they got down there, they found out it wasn't too safe. Because God is God. God is God. And God, there's no place you can go away from God. You cannot escape from God. When He gets His mind to put His hand on you, you will be listening to what He has to say. Now you will be. Go ahead and read this. Verse 25. And I will strengthen the arm of the king of Babylon. See, his arm. And the arms of Pharaoh shall fall down. And they shall know that I am the Lord. When I shall put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon. See that? That's when Babylon will destroy Egypt. And he shall stretch it out upon the land of Egypt. And I will scatter the Egyptians among the nations. That's what he's done. And disperse them among the countries, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Well, that's, you see, God is very powerful. And in the book of Ezekiel, He is telling us over and over again that He is the one in charge, and we are not in charge at all. We're not. God is the one in charge. You know why? He made the earth, right? He made it. Today, however, the devil is telling people all over the place that God didn't make this earth. That it's not 6,000 years old. That's what the devil's trying to convince folks of. Listen, this earth is not very old. God has made it all. How did He make it? He spoke it into existence. He said, let there be light. There was. He said, let there be the planets. There was. Let there be the sun, the moon, the stars. And it was so. God made the whole thing, and somebody said, that's impossible to do. You tell God that. God knows what He's doing. But look now. And we've already looked through some of this, but in the book of Ezekiel 33, we've studied about Ezekiel 33, and read verse 29 for our lesson here tonight. Exodus 33 and verse number 29. Then shall they know that I am the Lord when I have laid the land most desolate. Sometimes the only way that anybody can ever know that God is God and look to God is when they have nothing at all. Sometimes it's just that way. He said, because of all their abominations which they have committed. God will do that. He will let wait. We've already studied that once. We'll do it again. In chapter 34 and verse number 27, is another place that this phrase turns up. Ezekiel 34 and verse number 27. In this place, God is talking about how that he will judge between cattle, between the right ones and the wrong ones. God will make a difference. God knows the difference, and it's what he wants us to understand. He said that there's going to come a time when he's going to set up David to be the king, to be the ruler. In my Bible, it says that's Jesus Christ. That's what it says. That's in my notes. That's in the notes of the Bible. But who is it? Can it be David? Can it be David? I mean, the Bible says it's David. Why don't we just say that? Well, David's dead. So, Jesus is also dead. You say, well, Jesus is rose from the dead. Listen, David, he'll be brought out of the grave before this ever takes place. We will too. If we die before that, we're going to be brought out. And so, here's what he says. Look in verse number 27. I think that's, verse number 27. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit. Talking about all the prosperity that God will bring in that day to the people. Because God has said that if that's what he wants to do, that's what he's going to do. All right? It's a marvelous thing to me to think about the power that God has. He has more power than we could ever think about. I mean, think about that just a second. All the power in the world, he has more than that. And he says, I'm gonna do all that. In verse number 27, he said, the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they that be safe, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord. Look at that. There's going to come a time when Israel will know who God is. Now, I don't think they know now. As a people, as a nation, they don't. But there's going to come a day when they will know that God is God. When is that? Verse number 27. When I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. Look at this. In verse number 27, in the latter part of verse 27, when God has broken the bands of their yoke. It's not that Israel broke the bands. It's not that another nation broke the bands. But God is the one that has broke the bands. God is the one. You know, that ties them all together. But God is the one that has destroyed that and delivered them out of the hand of those that serve themselves of them. I mean, what a truth that is, that God is well able to do that. And he will do it. Now, look in chapter 34 and verse number. Let's just continue reading here in verse number 28 down to the end of the chapter. He said, "They shall no more be a prey to the heathen." Well, they are today. "Neither shall the beast of the land devour them. But they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid." I wonder who's going to make them afraid. The Bible says nobody. Nobody, not a one. In verse 29, "And I will raise up for them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more." I wonder what that means. It's called freedom. That's what it's called, freedom, physical freedom. Verse 30, "Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that They, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. There it is. And ye my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. It's evident that Christ will be the one that'll take care of all that. And when that day comes, it will not be anybody that says, look what I have done. Nobody will say that. Even if you get to heaven, I hold my hand up here to stop you from saying, I'm going. I know you are. But listen, you will not be able to say, I've gone to heaven by my strength. Nobody's going to say that. Nobody. The only way a person can ever go to heaven is through the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot be saved apart from what Christ has done in your life. You cannot. You cannot. You can study the Bible until you memorize it all, but that don't mean you're saved. You need to be saved by the grace of God, and you need to dedicate yourself to doing what God wants you to do. That's it. I mean, that's all. Now, in chapter 35, this was going to be tonight's lesson, but we got sidetracked. Chapter 35, notice this. Here, the Bible is talking about Mount Seir, that is, the inhabitants of the land, and they're from Esau. They're also called a land of Aduma. I think it's also called that. But look what it says in verse number one. More the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it. This is south of the Dead Sea. Prophesy against Mount Seir and prophesy against it. Verse 3. And say unto it, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O Mount Seir, I am against thee. And when God says that he's against something, he is against it. When God says he's for it, he's for it. I mean, that's it. And we need to submit ourselves to Almighty God. In verse number 3, he says, And I will stretch out mine hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste. Will this be an army? God said, I'm going to do it. How he's going to do it? It's his business. We depend upon him. We look to him. And nobody else. He said, I will lay thy cities waste, and thou shalt be desolate, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. This is the people of Esau. They will know that God's God. Listen, in this thing tonight, we study this. But every person will come to the place of knowing that God is God. Every individual. There won't be anybody that's saying, I am in control of anything. Because they won't be. God has a way of working all the details out so that people will know who did it. And he's going to get the glory and honor for it all. And when people say, Thou shalt know that I am the Lord, they're going to know it. In verse number 5. Because, I'm going to lay all the cities waste. I'm going to do all these things. You shall know that I'm the Lord. And here's the reason. Verse number 5. Because thou hast had a perpetual hatred. A perpetual hatred. A perpetual means continual hatred. And hast shed the blood of the children of Israel by the force of the sword. In other words, they've come into your place by the sword with their strength, and they've taken you captive. In the time of their calamity, and in the time that their iniquity hath an end. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee, sith thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue. The word sit there means like it's a if or when. It's a small word there, but that's what it means. But notice in verse 7. Thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate. Who's going to do that? God will. Whenever God puts his hand out there, he's going to do it. And he cut off from it him that passeth out and him that returneth. God's going to do that. And I will fill his mountains, that's the plural word, mountains, with his slain. God will fill all the mountains of Syria, he's going to fill them with slain. God will do that. In thy hills and in thy valleys and in thy rivers shall they fall that are slain with a sword. That's what God's going to do. Now, I think here the Bible mentions specifically that God will use an army to do this, because he says he's going to do it with a sword. Verse number 9. I will make thee perpetual desolations. You know why that is so? You know why they're going to be made perpetual desolations? Read verse 5. The Bible said, because that has had a perpetual hatred. The people that have hated the nation of Israel, God will give them what they gave. Because those people had a perpetual hatred for Israel, God will put perpetual desolations upon them. And thy cities shall what? Not return. You think it's going to be so? If God said it, that's what it's going to be. If God said that the cities would not return, guess what? They won't come back. They won't come back. Like Sodom and Gomorrah. God is well able to do that. The Bible said, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Wow. I mean, that little phrase, it shows up over and over and over and over again. Not only will Israel know that God is God, but the enemies of Israel will also know that God is God. Tells me this. I'm saved. But I need to wholly, fully trust God and nothing else. Right? If I don't now, I will then. You can trust a lot of things. I tell you what, it's real good if we just trust the Lord and do what he wants us to do. Let's read verse number 10. So it says, you'll know this. You'll know that I'm the Lord. Verse number 10. Because thou hast said, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. So we make up our mind about what we want. It may belong to the Lord. It may belong to the Lord. We don't have any business in it. We'll take this for ours. Don't say that. God is well able to bless. He's well able to watch over. He's well able to take care of things. In verse number 11, he says, therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God. Is God alive? You bet he is. You know he is. God is alive. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thine anger. So God here is saying, I'm going to do to you as you've done to the Israelites. That's what he's saying. I'm going to have the same anger that you had toward the Israelites, I have the same anger toward you. This ought to really strike a chord with us. If you really upset anybody, you need to understand that God could have the same hatred brought back on you. He can do that. That's why the Bible says, we'll live peacefully with all men. We'll get along with everybody. Because God is well able to take care of all that. And the hatred that we have in our heart, God knows. God understands. And so we need to be right before God. That, by the way, that's what the title of the whole message is, being right before God. But tonight, we're looking at this little phrase, to know the Lord. He said in verse number 11, "Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will even do according to thy anger and according to thy envy which thou hast used out of thy hatred against them. And I will make myself known unto them when I have judged thee." In the latter part of verse number 11, "And I will make myself known unto them when I have judged them. And thou shalt know," verse 12, "that I am the Lord." There it is again. That little phrase. I tell you what, you would do well if you would spend some time studying that phrase just in the book of Ezekiel. But this little phrase is in almost every book of the Bible. "And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all thy blasphemies which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume." Look at that. God is talking to Mount Seir. He's talking to the descendants of Esau. Verse 13. "Thus with your mouth ye have boasted against me." Look at that. So the Ishmaelite, Esau and his bunch, has said that they boasted against God and have multiplied your words against me. I have heard them. God has listened. Sometimes they think God don't hear anything. God does hear. God knows exactly what's going on. The private things in your heart, God knows about. The private things in a pagan's heart, God knows about. Nothing is hidden from him. It's all out in the open as far as God is concerned. It's all there. He says in verse 14, "Thus saith the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate." Look at that. What a turnaround that is. Because when the whole earth is rejoicing, Esau and his family, they'll be desolate. They will not be empty. Verse 15. "As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Idumea, even all of it. And they shall know that I am the Lord." In verse 15, "And thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel, because it was desolate." These people have rejoiced when Israel was in trouble. They have rejoiced. What Jesus Christ himself said when he was here. Don't rejoice when your enemies fall away. Don't do that. Sometimes you might think, they're getting what's good for them. You better be careful doing that. You say, well, they got what's coming to them. Be careful. Because that saying that you just said will come back to haunt you eventually. It will. So that's what God is talking here about when he says, as thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel. Because it was this. So the inheritance here is talking about the things that Israel has earned as an inheritance because of their rebellion. That's what he's talking about. I'll do the same thing to you as what God says. So be careful about that. In chapter 36, we come down to this. Now, in chapter 36, he said, look in verse number 8. We're going to start reading verse number 8. And read down through verse number 11. And I think this is talked about during the millennial reign. Ezekiel 36, verse number 8. But ye, O mountains of Israel, ye shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people of Israel. For they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you. Notice there in verse number 10, I love this phrase. And I will multiply. He didn't say add, but God will multiply. You remember how it was when Israel was down in the land of Egypt? And the Bible said that they were fruitful. I mean, and you study the time period, and you study how many people went into the nation of Israel, into the nation of Egypt, and those 70 souls, and how many they came out with, and it's a bunch more. And they wasn't in there that long. 215 years total. Now somebody's going to say it's 430. Well, it's 215. I'll talk about that some other time. But that's what it was. In my book, anyway. In verse number 9, he says, For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and you shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men unto you, all the house of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, and the waste shall be builded. God's going to take care of all of that. And I will multiply unto you man and beast, not add. He's rather going to multiply. That nation will grow in fabulous terms. And they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates. What? I will settle you after your old estates. In other words, the way it was laid out for them, that's where they would have their property and all that taken care of. And will do better unto you than at your beginnings. So God is saying here to the nation of Israel that he will do better for them at the end than he will at the beginning. So you can compare how God blessed the nation of Israel in the land of Egypt. But that is not a good comparison at all, because God said, I'm going to bless them more. He said in the latter part of verse 13, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. They're going to know who did it. They're going to know who did it altogether. That's a wonderful thing. In verse number 23, we find the same thing. How that God will bless. And God will take care of his people. Let's read in verse number 21 of Ezekiel 36, verse number 21. but had pity for mine holy name, when the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen whither they went. And I can't help but think here in verse 21. That God had pity not for the Israelites, but God had pity for His holy name. Because Israel had profaned His holy name among the heathen. When Baptists begin to act like every other denomination on the face of this earth, it's a mark against God. That's really what it is. I mean, we're a church, Lord Jesus Christ, and we ought to be true to God and lay everything at His feet and don't profane anything at all. Be right before God. I mean, that's another thought. In verse number 22, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel. Understand, God is saying to Israel, I am not doing this for your sakes, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. God wants everybody to know who He is. He is God. He is the Almighty. He is the one that has created this whole world. He is the one that's in charge of it all. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the inside from the outside. He knows it all, and He wants us to worship Him like there's nobody else in the world. And there is nobody else in the world. Worship Him and Him alone. In verse number 23, and I will sanctify my great name. The word sanctify means to set aside. God will establish Himself, and this is the whole purpose of all of the texts that we're reading tonight. God is glorifying Himself. And anybody that don't want to glorify God will pay the price. Glorify God. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. Boy, that's real clear. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Wow. The heathen shall know that Israel is being chastened of God because they're there and they see it. That's what he's saying. This thing is not done in a corner. When my children were young, I would always, almost always, discipline them privately. Because I didn't want the world to know what they had done. But in this case, God is disciplining His own children publicly. And all those people around know what's going on. Wow. That's remarkable. Let me see where I'm at here. The next one is down to verse number 36. And Let me begin our reading in verse number 28. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Boy, that all tells something about the crop situation and all that. It's because of our own difficulties, the one we're having. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. Then he says, in verse number 32, he says, not for your own sakes do I this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. God's going to fix all of that. And they shall say, the land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. And that's going to happen. And the waste and desolate and ruined cities are become fenced and are inhabited. Why will all that happen? Verse number 36. That the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places. God will do that in such a way that he will get the glory and the honor for it. Not a man, not a person, not a tribe on this earth, not a nation, not any of that. But you'll know that I did it. And plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. Verse 37. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel. To do it for them, I will increase them with men like a flock. There'll be a vast increase in population. Verse 38, as the holy flock and the flock of Israel in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. And they shall know that I am the Lord. I hope tonight that I've given you just a small taste of what God can do if we get out of the way and let God do it. It's not in our power. It's not in our strength. It's not in our abilities or in our talents. But God is the one that can change us around. Only God can do that. In chapter 37, he gets into the valley of dry bones. And there's some things in there, boy, you need to look at it real close. When you read chapter 37, we'll get into that next time, Lord willing. I think on Sunday, though, I'm going to preach something a little different than this. But we're going to take up this. I think, Lord willing, right now, I'm thinking next Wednesday night. But it is amazing what God is able to do when we get out of the way and let him do it. It's absolutely astounding. But if we got to have it our way, God may let us have our way. And that's not good. That's not good at all. Let God be glorified and let God be honored and praised. That's what we need to do. Okay, we're going to stop right there. We'll stop right there. Okay. But If you're lost tonight, we pray for you. That the Lord would see that you would see that only God can wipe away your sins. Only God can save your unworthy soul. Only God can fix your life. Only God can take care of things. If you're lost tonight, we pray for you that the Lord would touch your heart. God must do it. It's not us. God must do it. We pray that the Lord would help tonight if you're lost. Okay? So let's stop right there.